He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It's the June 9th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, and a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite, who has been filling in for me the last 2 days. Well, I served a couple of days at the annual girls camp for our church, Barry. I spent most of my time in KP, kitchen duties.
Right.
So I had a good time, you know. We were up in North Carolina. I saw some new country. But I was disconnected from the market for about 24 hours. Well, here we are today. We're waiting for the CPI tomorrow. It's going to be a quiet day in the market in front of that. The Dow's down 47 right now, 32,863. The S&P 500 is down 7 points to 4108. Well, you know what? We're holding some pretty good levels here. The markets maybe have found a bottom. They're looking for one. They've been looking for one. You had those 7 straight weeks of down markets. And it has solidified somewhat here the last couple weeks. The NASDAQ's down 27. It's at 12,059. The small caps are getting hit the hardest today. They're down 0.8%. There's no stopping crude oil. It is down a little bit today, but 121.53. Gold is down $7 today. Silver is down 22 cents. The 10-year is up to 3.03. And Bitcoin is, right at 30,000. That seems to be its support level these days. 30,168, it's down $514. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, and I thank Barry for taking care of the show the last couple of days. It would have been pretty shaky to do it from where I was at. The internet was just a little in and out.
Right.
But I saw some pretty country. That's country I've never seen. North Carolina, Goldsboro area, Mount Olive, okay? We were just a few miles from Mount Olive. So all these pickles, big bottles of pickles you get from Mount Olive, that's where it is.
That's where it is? Really? Okay.
That's the pickle capital of the world.
I go by Bush's Beans. I go by Bush's Beans on the way over to the mountains and the Smokies over in Tennessee.
I've
driven by that a few times, and that's kind of an interesting in the middle of nowhere, and you wouldn't expect it to see it. So that's where Mount Olive is. Okay.
Yeah, Mount Olive. And, you know, there's a lot of vineyards up through that part of North Carolina, a lot of blueberry fields, a lot of tobacco fields, and a lot of peanut fields. And I noticed a new twist on advertising for tobacco and cigarettes. Now they have this big sign that says plant-based. They're plant-based, okay?
That's a good
sign. So for all you vegans out there, smoke away. It's good for your health. It's plant-based. What will they think of next? There's a lot of tobacco companies there in that North Carolina area. Coming home through the Cape Fear area. That always strikes fear in me. You always hear about these shipwrecks off of Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever a hurricane.
I think of the movie, the come out wherever you are.
Was that storm. Perfect Storm? Was
yeah,
Cape
I think
Fear.
That's Cape. Yeah, Cape Fear was the, and it was, that's the De Niro movie. So.
Yeah, and, the hurricanes always come ashore at Cape Fear, and, you know, and I hit the biggest rainstorm. I mean, you could not see for literally 1 hour, you couldn't see more than a couple of feet in front of your car.
I've been there.
I thought, what did I get myself into here? Am I going to make it home tonight? But, yeah, it was right around Cape Fear. So next time you go through there, say a little prayer, you know, to make sure you get through. It's like the Bermuda Triangle or something. Well, okay, the market, I guess it behaved itself okay the last couple of days. Pretty quiet. Is that
light,
pretty
very
much?
light volume. It's, you know, I think it seems that everything's just kind of waiting for this Friday number. I was looking at some of the volume numbers. Actually, I think some of the lowest of the year so far. So,
wow. Well, between vacation time and scout camps and girls camps and people on vacation, it's probably slow. And, you know, it's unusual to see this CPI come out on Friday. It's usually on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. But we already got the European, the ECB has hiked rates. They're going pretty mildly along, 0.25% this time, and they say probably another quarter next time, when we've already gotten a 50 basis point hike and looking at two more, and they upped their inflation forecast quite a bit for 2023, 8.1%. Let's see. No, that's, yeah, the year, last week's higher than expected Eurozone consumer price index came in at 8.1. And they are now raising their annual forecast by quite a bit. I think around 6.5% or so, something like that. So this inflation, I find it interesting that everything's being blamed on Putin. The Putin inflation. We had inflation way before Ukraine ever invaded.
Yeah. Supply chain issues were here before. I mean, the Biden stickers at your gas pump. I mean, I've seen, I was seeing graffiti at gas pumps way before.
Yes.
Way before they were even building on the border.
Now like, they're even calling it Putin inflation.
Right, yeah.
We
call that a narrative.
Yes, okay. And I saw inflation everywhere I went. I talked to several people there that were from different industries. One guy manages a Food Lion supermarket, and he was telling me about the inflation that he sees and the supply chain issues. He says there's a lot of supplies we just can't get. They're unavailable. They're out of stock. I talked to another guy. He goes to Costco about once a month and gets the same package of skinless chicken breast every month. Says they've been running $19.99 for a long, long time. Now they're $40. $40, a double in chicken prices. And the gas price along the way on the highway in the area I was at, about $4.65, $4.69. A lot of grumbling. This could spill over to the November elections. I think it will. There was an awful lot of grumbling that I heard at the gas stations that I stopped at. Yeah, I don't know what you'll have to look up during the break what the projection is for the CPI tomorrow. What's the number we're supposed to watch for?
Oh yeah, it's
to see if we beat or match it or do better than expected. But I think Janet Yellen kind of prepared us earlier in the week when she says, "Yeah, you know what? I was wrong, and you could be expecting higher inflation going down the road."
Yeah, year over year, we're looking for an 8.2 number. And then that's, of course, the top line. And previously, right, it was 8.3. So they're expecting it to say top out, I guess, is what I would call that. The core number is supposed to be 5.9. It was 6.2. So, you can see, I mean, they're expecting a little bit of a pullback on the average numbers, even though the month-to-month's going to be higher. I mean, the month. May is at top lines at 0.7%, and we were at 0.3 last month. So
it's tough. You know, I talked to a guy up there. He's got 9 kids. He still has 6 at home. He says, you know, we're just being squeezed from every which way. He says his wages have remained the same, makes a good salary, but, you know, it remains the same. And in the meantime, the cost of food has just skyrocketed, and the cost of going, you know, traveling, the fuel has skyrocketed. So people are getting squeezed, and it's hitting, you know, the middle to lower class people, too. It's hitting, well, it's hitting all everybody, but it's hitting them especially hard as that continues to take a bite out of their monthly budget. Now the ECB at 6.8 is what they're projecting in 2022. Okay, when we come back, it looks like oil prices didn't go down while I was gone, does it? We'll talk about that. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kitus, the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Jobless claims rise 27,000 to 229,000. Meanwhile, 11 million jobs across the country go unfilled. And I continue to hear from proprietors that it's very difficult right now to get qualified help, people that can actually do the job, I guess, you know, that are trained. Crude oil. All right. Now, here's the scary part of this story, Barry. The UAE, United Arab Emirates oil minister, says prices are nowhere near the peak. And we hit, we're at 122, 121 per barrel right now. And nowhere near the peak. This is Minister Suhail Al-Mazraoui said, as Chinese demand has not returned to normal yet. Wait till it does. And the impending rebound threatens to strain a global market already pinched by tight supplies. The amount of oil that OPEC plus producers can add to the market is not very encouraging and is only enough to offset part of the supply gap created by sanctions on Russia. You know what? It's more than sanctions on Russia. We have shut down, made it difficult for drilling pretty much all over the world, in Europe, in the U.S., pretty much all over the world. They're talking about shutting down production in some of the countries of Latin America, like Colombia. So anyways, it does not sound like there's any hope anytime soon for any relief from the prices we're paying at the gas pump. In the meantime, you know, I read a story today, Barry, that shocked me. Europe wants to label, what is it that we use, lithium, as a hazardous material.
I saw that story yesterday. So where do you go now with the electric vehicles?
What do they want? Bicycles and skateboards? Is that where we're headed? I don't know. Scooters? Electric scooters?
And I didn't read into it, but I mean, I guess, you know, I'm trying to think in terms of what they mean by hazardous material. I guess in terms of mining, right?
They'll restrict the mining.
Environment. And then on the other side of it, I guess disposal of the lithium. I mean, you know, here soon. It's already become a big deal, but, you know, lithium, you know, disposal of batteries, people are going to, essentially, there's a whole another, you know, business in terms of recycling the lithium to use again.
Yeah, there's one stock out there right now that's already getting in position for being a recyclable battery company. But, yeah, I just don't know about, you know, the trade-off when you have strip mining, lithium's labeled a hazardous material. We can't get enough nickel, cobalt, a lot of the rare earth types of metals to even come close to filling the needs for building all these batteries. You know what? I hope they have a plan, because it doesn't sound too encouraging to me. The shipping stocks have been under a little pressure here recently. I'm not, you know, they had a pretty good run up. And we have seen a little contraction in the Baltic Exchange Index. But I think that the liquid natural gas carriers and the carriers of petroleum products should continue to do fine going forward, because of, you know, the shutting off of the pipeline to many countries in Europe. Soybeans climb to 10-year highs. Corn rises as a dry June expected. You know, when I looked at the corn fields, they didn't look healthy through North Carolina. And I asked somebody about it, and he said, well, you know, we're having a bad drought in North Carolina. And so, you know, that's what I see. A dry June is expected, and corn prices are rising. There are ETFs. Okay, let's look at the soybean ETF, SOYB, hitting an all-time high yesterday. Let's look at the corn ETF. The corn ETF has cooled off a little bit. The wheat ETF has also cooled off a little bit. And in the meantime, the United Nations is warning of a global food crisis, a catastrophe, not a crisis, a catastrophe out there on the horizon. Lumber futures fall to 9 months lows. Guess what's drying up? The housing market. The housing market, with interest rates now over 5%, and the average home in some of these cities, San Diego, for instance, the average home price is $1 million now. You're going to see some continued drying up of this housing market, and that's not good for construction workers, construction equipment, housing material companies and whatnot. You know what? Mortgage bankers. I talked to a guy yesterday that was a mortgage banker, and he asked me what my opinion was with the future of, you know, like industrial real estate and commercial real estate. I think it's pretty shaky, really, with interest rates being the biggest problem and the price of properties and whatnot. It doesn't look real great for the real estate market.
Yeah,
going forward.
And we hit the mortgage survey yesterday, and I think new purchase, you know, new mortgages for purchasing new homes was down, you know, 70%
way down.
Or so. And when you compare it to, you know, compared to previous, you know, year over year, it was, the writing's on the wall in that standpoint, because that's essentially what the Fed is trying to do.
Yes, cool off everything, including the real estate market. Tesla sells 32,000 China-made vehicles in May, down 4% year-over-year, production up more than 200%, and now there's fears of more lockdowns in China. And that's the reason you've seen the market a little bit shaky the last couple of days. You've seen some of the commodity stocks sell off, not much, a little bit, because fear of, you know, lockdowns in other Chinese cities. So we'll just have to watch that. UBS upgrades Tesla today, points to an attractive entry point. Let's look at that. TSLA, attractive entry point. Well, I've been saying that. I think the chart has firmed up in the 750 area. It's not cheap. The P.E. ratio is 80. The forward P.E. ratio is about 45. The relative strength is 53. It's pretty neutral right now. If you want to buy an expensive stock, I would say the thing that Tesla has going is a corner on the market right now. I mean, if you're complaining about high gas prices, that's about the only place you're able to turn to get a nice electric vehicle. And they're not cheap. They're not cheap.
Yeah, and they're the ones with, you know, significant production. I mean, they're the only ones that can roll a viable amount of vehicles off the
we're still waiting for Rivians and Lucids and all the other different brands out there, Fiskars, and now they're labeling lithium in Europe as a dangerous, hazardous material. I don't know. I better just start walking, building up my endurance, be walking. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. The Dow down 100 right now as it waits for the CPI report tomorrow. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The NASDAQ has now gone positive by 6 points. AMD's having a pretty good day. Dow is down 93 points right now. The 10-year's clear up to 3.04, so the bond market's not doing so great here today. And here's that story about it affects Albemarle. They may have to shut down their plant in Germany if lithium is declared a hazardous material by the European Union. Okay, so this isn't like one country. This is the entire European Union that wants to declare lithium a hazardous material. Lithium plays a critical role in making electric vehicles. And the EU ensured that the metal was added to the critical raw materials list in 2020. But the European Commission now is assessing a proposal by the European Chemicals Agency, boy, all of these alphabet agencies, to classify lithium carbonate, chloride, and hydroxide as dangerous for human health. Well, I'm not going to eat it, you know. I guess, suppose everything in my car under the hood is dangerous to human health. Such a move would mean a more restrictive regulatory framework for the metal's use. Thus, Albemarle would no longer be able to import their primary feedstock, lithium chloride, putting the entire German facility in jeopardy of closure. With sales of $500 million annually, the economic impact to Albemarle from the potential closure would be significant. This plant has produced lithium since 1921, employs more than 600 people, and accounts for 8% of the company's projected 2022 net sales. Well, you know, I mean, that would be a big issue there if they can't import it. I mean, not only can you not mine it, you can't import it, the raw feedstock to make the lithium for the batteries. Okay, well, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I don't understand kind of where that puts them. I was talking, I mean, you know, we continue to talk about that, you know, the ultimate, power source, or the ultimate, you know, kind of replacement, right, for hydrocarbons, you know, may not even be discovered yet, I guess,
they're going to go back to the liquid natural gas route, right. But they can't find
enough. They can't get enough of that anyway.
They don't have enough to heat their homes, right, over there. I don't know. Europe's in a heck of a mess.
We're going to go with the Flintstone version. Just cut a hole in the bottom of the car and
everybody
run. Get it kicking. Yeah.
Alibaba had a huge day yesterday. I just don't trust Alibaba rose almost 15% yesterday as the Chinese internet giant benefited from signs that the Beijing government is taking new steps to support its tech sector. Well, you know what? One month they support their tech sector. The next year they're not supporting their tech sector. They can crack down on them anytime they want, and the heavy hand of regulations can come down on them anytime they want to bring them down. Yesterday they said they're going to support their tech sector going forward, and a JD was up 8%, PDD was up 10%. I think they just do that every once in a while to clear out all the short sellers.
I saw a story a couple of days ago. I never didn't get around to it, but it had Jack Ma's name in it. I was so apparently they're thinking, and I'll find it in a moment. But
did he disappear again?
No, well, it was almost a reappearance. I was like, I was kind of surprised. I just it was that they're kind of reviving that I forget whatever the IPO that they were supposed to kick off.
Oh yeah, the ant.
They're moving, kind of doing some of the ant financial stuff. I think they were moving it over to either, you know, Hong Kong or Macau, something of Singapore. But I was just surprised seeing his name. I'm like, well, maybe things are looking up in China.
Yeah.
You see his name, right?
Yep. And you can't buy really the inverse China ETF because they come out with news like that. We're going to now support our internet industry, and it sends Alibaba up 15%. And if you have an inverse 2-to-1 on the China, you know, you get clobbered. So I just leave it alone. You just can't touch it.
Well, take a company like Tencent and look at that chart and look at the news that comes out, right? I mean, they have completely talking up companies. They've completely talked down that company for a year and a half now. And it was, you know, one of their top three companies in the country.
Now, it's steady as she goes at Devon Energy. Okay, look at the chart of Devon Energy. That thing broke out. This is one of our largest holdings. That thing broke out in late last year and has never looked back. It was trading at $35.55. We liked it because more than 50% of their production is natural gas. And there's several stocks that do more natural gas than they do, you know, just flat-out crude oil. And Devon's one of them. Devon's now a $52 billion company. It's gone from 35 to 78. It has a relative strength of 99. The forward PE, in my calculations, I come up with about 8 or 9 Devon Energy.
I have 9, so yeah, it's right there.
So Devon, and it pays a dividend of, I show 6.5%.
So 6.5 is what I have. Part of that's a special dividend that varies.
Okay.
That varies based on profitability. But I mean, if you can think of what their profitability is looking like on a go forward basis,
yeah,
my
you're
guess
get
is
a
that
good
yield's
dividend.
Probably gonna stick around at least for a period of time.
Yeah, I mean,
their dividend is, you know, their dividend rate is 5, and their earnings per share forward is 8.6. So, I mean, they're giving back, $5 for every $8 they earn, pretty much.
And they made a purchase yesterday that's going to be accretive to not only their dividend, but, I mean, to their earnings, but their cash flow, which gives them room to increase the dividend. They agreed to acquire Rimrock Oil and Gas in the Williston Basin. That's in the North Dakota area. Now, that area had cooled off quite a bit from the initial boom that went on several years ago in that shale, fracking of that shale, when Williston was one of the busiest areas of the whole United States. But obviously, with oil at $121 per barrel, there's a lot of deals being made right now. Devon says it's the accretive nature of this transaction to free cash flow. They're going to approve a 13% increase to the fixed quarterly dividend. I don't know what the fixed quarterly dividend is. I'd have to look through the fine print there. But this stock was the second biggest gainer, is the second biggest gainer in the S&P 500 so far this year, DVN. And I read also that Equinor, the one that we just wrote up, mm-hmm. the Norwegian oil company, they signed for a 15-year contract from another one we own, LNG Cheniere Energy, for a supply of liquid natural gas. So everything they can produce, they're buying from Cheniere, right?
And, yeah, and liquid natural gas just seems to be, especially after the lithium story, I mean, liquid natural gas just seems to be where, you know, it has to be a big, big part of that bridge over to a green economy. I was reading a story where now that natural gas on a, you know, on a relative energy basis, right, is now more expensive than oil was pre-pandemic. So
now, okay, is this true? I was reading in the comments on the Equinor article. Someone said that Equinor pays a 95% tax rate in Norway.
It's tricky to determine, right, because it depends on where and how they where stuff is created, how it's taxed. It's convoluted in one particular portion of their business, right? It may be that high, but in other parts of their business, it's not, which when you put it all together, their average tax rate is not 90%.
No, I mean, you couldn't survive paying, given the government. You work all that. Imagine the work of extracting oil from the North Sea and the, you know, all those waters up there, and then you give 95% of your profits, to the government. But Norway is anti-oil; they're anti-fossil fuel. The home of most of the fossil fuel in Europe is anti-fossil fuel. They're going to have all electric. I think they're one of the countries that's going to have all electric cars by 2030. All right. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. What's jumping off the page today? We'll see. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show as we await the U.S. CPI, Consumer Price Index numbers on Friday. And I would imagine we get the PPI early next week. That will be a very highly watched number as people want to know, is this inflation, is there any hope for this stuff to cool off? Right now, I haven't personally seen really much other than the Fed. That seems to be the only weapon. They're depending solely upon the Fed with rising interest rates to curb inflation. And, you know, a lot of this inflation is coming from the gas station right now. Okay, so here's some stocks jumping off the page. And it shouldn't surprise you that most of them are associated with the gas station, Barry. A small one, PHX Minerals. I might have a small position in that personally. It's very small. It's a $165 million micro cap. But it is breaking out to a new high today. It's a $4.80 stock. It has a relative strength of 98 on a scale of 1 to 99. And it's expected to make 93 cents in earnings next year. And the stock's trading at $4.80. So that makes for a forward PE of 5. It's headquartered in Oklahoma City. You know, the Oklahoma gas, here's another thing I've noticed about Oklahoma. There's some banks that are headquartered in Oklahoma. They're booming right now. There's several that are breaking out to new all-time highs. When most of the banking stocks are pretty weak right now in the U.S., it's not a sector that has been very vibrant, but there's several in that Oklahoma area that are busting loose, and Texas, obviously. So PHX Minerals, they are developing oil and gas properties mainly in Arkansas, North Dakota, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Texas. So welcome back. This was a $25 stock at one time, PHX. Went down to $1. Now it's back up to $4.78 and breaking loose. That's PHX. Okay, another one up in that Williston Basin area. I remember when they went public. I think I wrote an article about them. Northern Oil and Gas, NOG, just like eggnog, N-O-G. They're engaged in the exploration and production of oil and natural gas within the Williston Basin in North Dakota. And that stock is up $2.53. That's a new 52-week high today. The relative strength is 98, and the forward P.E. is about 5, 98 to 5. NOG is a smaller one, $2.8 billion. So that's down in that small cap arena. NOG, and I know they were in the news. I think they made some kind of a purchase or something. They're headquartered in Minnesota. So for our Minnesota audience, Minnetonka, Minnesota, Northern Oil and Gas, NOG. And then one other one here, PDCE is flying today. PDC Energy. Now, they do the same thing as the other two, but in different states. They're in Colorado, which I imagine they have some struggles there getting permits. Ohio, okay, Ohio's probably fairly friendly. And West Virginia, we know West Virginia's got to be friendly. That's Joe Manchin up there. PDCE is an $8.5 billion, so this is a little bit more formidable company. It's breaking out to a new 52-week high today, and relative strength of 98. They're going to make $20 per share next year. And the stock's trading at 88, so that's about a forward P.E. of 4.5, something like that, 4.5. They all do the same thing. You know, this is a weird year where the stuff that's working is over here and the stuff that's not working is over here. The stuff that's working is very narrow. I imagine... I used to watch the breadth of the market. The breadth has got to be pretty lousy in the market with, you know, very few sectors participating on a daily basis.
And it's tough as portfolio managers because it's you don't want to be too concentrated in one particular sector, but it, you know, it's...
At the same time, what else can you do?
It continues to funnel you there, yeah.
So. And also have, you know, some hedges in place. What would bring the price of oil down? I don't see anything that the government's going to do that will bring it down. It would take, you know, what brought it down last time? The pandemic. The pandemic. Demand would have to drop off a cliff or they'd have to, you know, severe penalties for driving a combustion engine on the road. I think probably the biggest risk that there is to oil is the drop in demand, and the last time oil really came down was during the COVID pandemic. We saw oil prices go negative. There was so much oil and so little demand. So we have to be on the lookout. I'm seeing a few conferences canceled here and there because of fear of COVID, but we're not really seeing it spiking at all here in the U.S. Maybe this fall. You know, we get into flu season and stuff.
Well, I have seen an increase in some, you know, antiviral pills. I mean, there's probably four different stories for four different companies that have, you know, just getting to either approval or emergency approval for antiviral.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we're going more and more to that endemic route than a pandemic route. I think I sent you the story where I think the U.S. threw away 82 million doses
of the vaccine
for whatever reason, spoilage, expiration.
It has a shelf life.
Yeah, but you know what doesn't have a shelf life is an antiviral pill. So
yes. All right. Well, okay. Tomorrow, all hands on deck, all eyes watching for the consumer price index.
Hold on to your pockets.
I'm sure the White House will be watching. I'm sure the minority party in the office now, they'll be watching. It will definitely play a major role come this November. And, of course, you had some shots fired over the bow on Tuesday in San Francisco and Los Angeles. So it's a big item here, inflation. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call for a portfolio review, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.